Welcome to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich. And the Oscar nominations were announced this week, and Hollywood has been buzzing.
You're by far the favourite. I know we spoke last year for a single man.
Oh, I can't comment on the odds. It's one in five. But it's a wonderful sort of orbiting the Earth's atmosphere feeling.
But isn't it wonderful for the King's Speech as well, leading the nomination?
Well, that's great. And it's the fact that so many of us are there. You know, a royal flush.
That was Best Actor nominee and apparent frontrunner Colin Firth talking about his new movie, The King's Speech, which is leading the Oscar race with 12 nominations. Today we're going to talk about the nominations, the snubs, the surprises, and get your thoughts on the movie award season. In the studio today for our movie discussion is Columbus Alive web editor and movie critic Brad Keefe. Welcome.
Thanks, Amy.
And the other paper film critic, Hope Madden.
Thanks for having me.
And Columbus Dispatch movie critic, Frank Cabrenia. Welcome.
Thank you.
And let's start with the surprises for the Oscar nominations in terms of Best Picture. There are 10 Best Picture nominees. Let's just run through those really quickly. The nominees are Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. So 10 nominations. And Brad, you wrote on your blog on Columbus Alive, you say there were no surprises.
There are very few surprises this year. I mean, the headlines of the day were just kind of much as expected. You know, the field, this is the second year the field's been widened to 10 films for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. This year doesn't have, there was no dark horse, there was no really bad choice. There are 10 really good films, but it was kind of a yawn of a morning.
You want there to be a surprise.
The controversy generated when you get headlines from a big snub or a unexpected nomination, and it was really status quo that morning.
So Hope, you feel all 10 nominees are well-deserving? No one got left out?
I do, actually. I'm really happy with all of them. I loved all of these films. I was happy to see Winter's Bone. I think I was worried that it would get left off coming into it. I thought that it would get acting nominations. Actually, not as many as it got, but I was afraid it might not get Best Picture, and I was happy to see it on there.
And Frank, do you think the 10 Best Picture nominees are all well-deserving?
Yes. That's true. There was nothing in there that you would have thought, well, boy, that sure doesn't deserve it. But that's what you're going to get from now on, if you have 10 every year. What I found fun last year and really haven't set about doing this year is looking at the list and saying, if these were the old days and there were only 5 nominees, who wouldn't have made it?
Right.
Winter's Bone would have been one of those.
Right.
Would Inception? I don't know. It might have been on the fence.
Kids Are All Right wouldn't have made it.
Kids Are All Right would not have made it either. So that's one of the reasons they did enlarge that. Now, they did it mostly so they could get the big box office films in, and Toy Story 3 was the biggest box office film of the year, but Harry Potter didn't make it, for example, the way The Dark Knight did last year. So.
Mm. That's true. So if you were to cut this
list...
No,
The Dark Knight did not.
No, it didn't.
No. It didn't. That was the reason they
did. That was the reason they did it, was because of Dark Knight. That's right.
Okay. So there's 10 nominees, and if you were to cut this list in half, would you say that probably The King's Speech and Social Network would still be there?
Yeah, they're the two leading films. Mm-hmm. True Grit might have been on the fence, the corral fence or something like that. Black Swan probably would have made it in.
Like 127 Hours.
Yeah.
127
Hours might not have.
You think?
I don't know. Yeah. It hasn't been that popular, has it? I mean, because people don't really want to see it.
You know,
I saw
a commercial, I think, on TV last night that they're bringing 127 Hours back to the theater.
Yeah.
Or did it ever go away?
No,
I was confused.
It made its run, and it wasn't doing big enough business to stay. And it's not uncommon for movies that get major nominations, and this one also has a Best Actor nomination, to bring it back right after the nominations come out. So those people who say, I missed it in October, they can go out and see it now.
Okay.
Winter's Bone actually is back at the Gateway right
now,
too.
Well,
so
historically, a lot of the Best Picture nominations usually got an accompanying Best Director. So that's kind of one way to look at it, I think, in that sense. Aronofsky for Black Swan was left out. They might not have got the Best Picture nomination.
No, he got nominated. Aronofsky is nominated.
Oh,
no, Danny Boyle didn't.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah,
thanks.
And Nolan didn't get a nomination.
And Inception, that right. to me is probably the one as close to a snub. That's the one that angers me the most is Nolan not getting it for Inception, which
he's the director of Inception,
yes.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Yes. I felt that way actually about Danny Boyle. I was very upset. I think a lot of people think of 127 Hours as a one man show, and James Franco was great, but Danny Boyle is everywhere in that film because I think in most directors' hands that would have been a grimy, grisly, awful, and it wasn't. It was exuberant and joyous. It was very upbeat. It explained to you why this guy does this, because he has this joy for, you know, the earth as it is. And
I suppose we should explain in detail just what he endures, but who wants to?
That's right.
I think a lot of people know
seeing.
The story
yeah,
of 127
Hours. That's what I thought,
hours.
Too,
yeah.
Long
if,
before they go.
If people don't know the story of 127 Hours, call in and ask that question, 614-292-8513.
We'll
it's
it.
Very
and
cutting edge.
We will tell if someone asks, but other than that, you probably know. So let's talk about the real horse race for Best Picture. Everyone's talking about it's between The King's Speech and The Social Network, even though there are 8 other nominees in that category. So let's discuss first The Social Network. And in this clip, Mark Zuckerberg tells his friend Eduardo about his idea that will eventually become Facebook.
People came to Face Mash in a stampede, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't because they saw pictures of hot girls. You can go anywhere on the internet and see pictures of hot girls.
Yeah.
It was because they saw pictures of girls that they knew. People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that? Friends, pictures, profiles, whatever you can visit, browse around. Maybe it's someone you just met at a party. But I'm not talking about a dating site. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
All right, so that is a scene from The Social Network, also known as the Facebook movie that everyone talks about. So what do we think? Is that what's going to win?
You know, I would have thought that going in, but there's been this big groundswell for The King's Speech. You know, Social Network almost swept all the critic awards, all the major critic awards towards the end of the season. It sort of seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that it was going to be the Oscar favorite, and King's Speech leading in nominations. And to me, I think a lesser film and such an Oscar bait movie. It's just kind of built for that. It's got all these, you know, great British actors, that sort of inspirational storyline. But The Social Network was one of the most entertaining movies of the year, and most of it was a guy typing at a computer and recreations of legal depositions. You know, it like to make a edge of your seat movie out of that. Fantastic. It's my favorite of the nominees, and I hope it wins, and I'm not sure it will.
Frank, what do you think between The Social Network and King's Speech?
I enjoyed Social Network very much. I stayed in the center of my seat. I didn't find it quite that riveting, but was very entertained because I didn't know as much about it. The thing that may hurt it is there's, and this has happened with other movies before, a buzz going around that a lot of it just ain't true, that Aaron Sorkin, the writer, fabricated a lot of the details, especially personally about Zuckerberg, in order to fit his thesis, the idea of a man who's socially inept going out and creating this vast social engine.
But does it have to be true to be good?
No. Mm-hmm. And that's been true of movies for years. Mm-hmm. But that sometimes if it turns up in more interviews and everything, that can become an issue once it gets around to voting time. And yes, by contrast, The King's Speech is one of those comfort movies in which everything, the reason I don't like it as much, I liked it a lot, but is because everything in The King's Speech happened exactly the way I expected it to happen. Mm. Whereas in The Social Network, I didn't know what to expect from these people and therefore was very entertained all the way through the film.
Mm-hmm. And Hope, what are your thoughts between those two movies?
Well, you know, they're both really great. I mean, I think it's nice that we're having this debate about two really quite excellent films. And they're so phenomenally different because the one is so incredibly timely. It reminds me of Up in the Air last year, where it's just so, oh, yes, this is exactly what's happening right now, or, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I loved The King's Speech, though, and I think it gets compared a lot to movies that maybe shouldn't have won all the awards they won, like Shakespeare in Love, which I don't think it is, mm-hmm. like Shakespeare in Love, and I don't think it's like The Queen either, which was a very, I think, stodgy type of film. Because Colin Firth and Jeffrey Rush together on screen are just fabulous. Like, everyone should see it for these two actors sparring off of each other. They're fantastic. And It wouldn't make me unhappy for either of those films to win. I think I probably prefer The King's Speech maybe a little bit, and I also think that it's the more likely film to win.
Let's hear a clip from The King's Speech. In this scene, Lionel is trying to motivate King George.
You've destroyed the happiness of my family, all for the sake of ensnaring a star patient you couldn't possibly hope to assist. It'll be like Mad King George the Stammerer, who let his people down so badly in their hour of need. What are you doing? Get up! You can't sit there! Get up!
Why not? It's a chair.
No, that is not a chair. That is St. Edward's chair.
People have carved their names on it.
Listen to me!
Listen to you? By what right?
Because I have a right to be, and I have a voice!
Yes, you do.
And so, obviously, King George is played by Colin Firth that we mentioned at the top of the show. He's considered the front runner in the Best Actor category, even though it's a very solid list of actors. Brad, what do you think about that as the Best Actor?
I think that he was more deserving last year. And he's.
Oh, are they trying to make it up to
him?
Yeah, I think
first.
That's. He's going to get it this year for the exact same reason that Jeff Bridges got it last year.
Yes.
And Jeff Bridges' role, his performance last year was great, but it was not as good as Colin
okay,
Firth
so
was.
Wait, remind us. So for, Jeff Bridges last year played in
Crazy Heart.
Crazy.
And,
okay.
he won for Crazy Heart, and it was a great performance, and he was the sentimental favorite because he simply never won one.
Right. And so
Colin Firth was last year.
In
A Single Man.
Yes.
Right.
Which was a flawless performance. He has a lot of those. He really does in character roles and in lead roles. Colin Firth is really a really solid actor. And he did a great job in this film as well, in The King's Speech as well. But I think he's the sentimental favorite because he has never gotten one. And really, they're making up for the fact that he didn't get it last year.
Okay. So basically, it's, you know, Colin Firth is King George the Stammerer. And then we have James Franco, who is basically alone for the entire movie.
I mean, that's you got to consider Franco the MVP of that movie, at least, because he's pretty much alone in the entire movie. You know, it's really well directed, but there's a lot riding on Franco. He's young, super talented, also very funny. Not a lot of people know that. He's hosting Oscar night.
And hosting the show, not to mention
I think that would be my favorite surprise of the night is Franco presenting on stage and having to come over.
I would love to see James Franco
win it. Fantastic.
What do you think James Franco could win that?
No, I don't believe. I believe Colin Firth will win it. I think it's the strongest lock in the entire Oscars, except for Toy Story 3 winning Best Animated Feature. And the reasons have nothing to do with the quality of his performance or past performances, because these are, in fact, the Oscars. This is not about a group sitting around with intense wisdom saying, you know, I've studied acting for 500 years and this was really... No, it doesn't work that way. Colin Firth, first of all, he's British. They love Brits. Secondly, his character has a handicap. Those people often win. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, he's been an actor for years and voters love him as Darcy in Pride and Prejudice. No, it's true.
He's going to win because he's Mr. Darcy.
He couldn't win it this year if he had not been nominated last year. It's also part of these are Oscar trends that go back 80 years and they've never changed. The only thing that's changed in the Oscars in the last couple of years that I've noticed is that the Best Picture winner does not tend to be the stodgy drama anymore the way it used to be, in which case The King's Speech 15 years ago would have been an absolute lock to win Best Picture. Mm-hmm. In the past decade, they've changed. And it's because there's younger voters in the Academy. But there are 5,800 Academy voters. There's a lot of people in there with a lot of opinions and tastes. So movies such as Crash, No Country for Old Men, help me, I know there were two more, recent winners that wouldn't have had a prayer. Oh, last year, The Hurt Locker.
Oh, sure.
Movies like that would not have had a prayer 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a chance to win, which is why Social Network may beat The King's Speech. But I don't know how that's going to go between the two of them.
Let's hold that discussion. We'll continue right after this break. You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. 614-292-8513 to join the conversation. And we'll be right back.
This week, President Obama delivered his State of the Union to an audience of Republicans and Democrats sitting together instead of apart in their separate sections. We want to do what we can to keep this civility thing going. So this week, make sure to listen to our quiz next to someone you despise. I'm Peter Sagal. We promise you can go back to your own side when Garrison Keillor comes on. Join us for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturday morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Ann Fisher, and you can now listen to All Sides on the new 89.7 NPR News. 89.7 FM will bring you the best in local and national news all day, every day. Join me for discussions of city politics, statewide issues, books, the arts, and more. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher from 10 a.m. to noon on the new 89.7 NPR News and streaming at WOSU.org/allsides.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich. With me in the studio for our movie discussion is Hope Madden, film critic for The Other Paper, Frank Abrenya, film critic for The Columbus Dispatch, and Brad Keefe, film critic for Columbus Alive. We want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about the Oscar nominations? Was your favorite movie of the past year nominated for an Oscar? There are 10 nominees. What do you think was left off the list? 614-292-8513, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also visit the All Sides Facebook page and leave your comment there. So we had to kind of get cut off at our discussion. So, Frank, you were saying that Colin Firth may not win. He may win just for the fact.
I say he will win.
You think he will? Okay. Well, what about Jeff Bridges? Is it ever possible to win two in a row?
Oh, it is. Tom Hanks did it. Spencer Tracy did it. Louise Rainer did it. But Jeff Bridges won't. Colin Firth, I mean, he's exactly positioned in the right point. For Tom Hanks to win 2 years in a row, it took his performance in Forrest Gump, which was so different from his performance the year before in Philadelphia, and they really loved him. Mm-hmm. They like Jeff Bridges a lot, but they really loved Tom Hanks. You know, when I talk about Oscars, it's a popularity contest. It's filled with the various prejudices and agendas of 5,800 different people, not all of whom are aging actors. So that you can never exactly figure it out, but it's also not one big monolithic body. But in the long run, there tend to be trends that play out.
Let's talk about True Grit. Correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't nominated for any Golden Globes,
it
right?
It was not, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay. But it has...
They had to make room for Burlesque,
yes,
and The Tourist.
Well, that's because they had to call it a comedy. You know, they need their comedy and or musical.
And I thought True Grit was really, really funny, too.
I did, too.
I mean, I think if you put it in that category...
Well, here, let's hear a funny scene from True Grit. This is Maddie, and she insists on going on the adventure with Rooster.
Can we depart this afternoon?
We? You are not going. That is no part of it.
Well, you have misjudged me if you think I'm silly enough to give you $50 and watch you simply ride off.
I'm a bonded U.S. Marshal.
That weighs but little with me. I will see the thing done.
Won't be stopping at boarding houses where there's warm beds and hot grub on the table. But the sleeping is done to take place on the ground.
Well, I have slept out at night before. Papa took me a little Frank Coon hunting last summer on the Petit Jean. We were in the woods all night. We sat around a big fire and yarned, all told ghost stories. We had a good time.
Cool, honey. This ain't no coon hunt.
All right, so that's Jeff Bridges with quite the accent that he has, which it always sounds like there's something in his mouth. I don't know. But is this performance in True Grit for Jeff Bridges, is it better than what he did in Crazy Heart last year?
Oh, it's so different. It's a really great performance. It's fun. It's larger than the screen, and you know, it's an impressive feat to really make you sort of forget about, at least me, the Duke and the original, mm-hmm, you know, the John Wayne version of it. But he really nailed aging country stars. I mean, they're both really great performances. I would probably give the nod to Crazy Heart, though. Bad Blake.
What do you think of Jeff Bridges, Brad?
Bridges' first scene in that movie, that courtroom scene where he's being interrogated by an attorney. Like right out of the gate, he cracked me up. Mm-hmm. And it was completely unexpected. That movie was kind of pitched as a, you know, dark, violent. And, it really seemed like it was going to be in the vein of No Country for Old Men for the Coen brothers. And I thought, you know, he brought humor, but the Academy don't exactly reward comedic performance. I don't think he has much of a chance.
Frank, what do you think of True Grit as being a Best Picture nominee and all the nominations it got?
Well, I enjoyed it well enough. I know the original well and watched that again recently, and I don't think that's a great film because it didn't have a very good director. My major feeling on True Grit was it was fine, it's true to the novel, it's faithful, and to me it was an awfully disappointing thing to get from the Coen brothers, who are among the most creative filmmakers we have out there. The year and a half or so they spent making True Grit, it's time they did not spend creating another Raising Arizona or Miller's Crossing or Barton Fink or Blood Simple, Fargo. I mean, things that they created from scratch are so much more fascinating to me than a remake. At least No Country for Old Men wasn't a remake. That's based on a novel. But in this case, they're remaking it as faithful as the original was. I only noticed one plot twist that was different that I assume is in the original novel. So it's fine. It's really good stuff. I think all these Oscar nominations it got, especially a Best Picture and the two of them up for Best Director, mm-hmm. has as much to do with the fact that the Academy has now anointed them as great filmmakers, which when they made much better movies, they were being ignored. But now that they're Oscar-winning filmmakers for No Country for Old Men, now virtually every one of their movies or every other will get them more nominations, I think. I think True Grit is fine. I just don't think it's great, and I don't think it's worth the Coen brothers' energy.
Now, let's talk about Hailee Steinfeld.
She's really good.
She is really good. She's and a huge step up from the original.
But she's nominated for supporting actress.
Every year there's a controversy when a pretty major player in a movie gets bumped down to a supporting role.
Yeah, because she's not just the lead actress. She's the lead. Yeah. She's the lead in the film.
She's the narrator, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to compare her screen time, the percentage of her screen time in that movie with Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, which he got a lead actor role for and was probably in 20, 30 minutes of.
Oh, not anywhere near 20, 30 minutes of.
Now, not that I understand how campaigning works, what it means to campaign for your film, but my understanding is just from reading different news articles is that the Coen brothers campaigned for her to be Best Supporting Actress because
they felt she had a better chance
of winning.
Of winning. And she may, that may very well be the case. But as far as I'm concerned, Best Supporting Actress is by far the strongest category this year. And the number of people who didn't get nominated, who fully deserve to get nominated, but you couldn't bump anyone off the list, is huge. Barbara Hershey, Mila Kunis, just from the same film. It's I think by far the strongest of the categories, and I do think she has a good chance of winning it. But it's almost too bad because she should have been Best Actress contender, and then we could have had one more true supporting actress in there who deserves to be noticed.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, 614-292-8513, or send us an email to allsides@wosu.org and send us your comment on the movie awards season. What do you think of the Golden Globe nominations versus the Screen Actors Guild versus the Oscars? There's a lot out there and a lot to talk about, so tell us about your favorite film, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, The Social Network, we've been talking about True Grit, The King's Speech. What about Black Swan? It's a very dark movie.
It's one of the darkest and strangest movies, I think, that's ever. And for that reason, I think it's one that wouldn't have made the cut in a five-film race. But it's also one of my favorites on there. It's, you know, it's practically a horror movie. It's really kind of psychological. a lot of people are a little put off by how dark it is. But
here, and Natalie Portman is nominated for Best Actress for her performance in it. And I do have a clip from it, but a lot of Natalie Portman's performance in that is either dancing or breathing really heavily and looking really scared. And it doesn't really work well on the radio. So unfortunately, I have a clip where Winona Ryder is doing most of the talking. So Nina is getting confronted by a drunken Beth, played by Winona Ryder.
Beth? I'm so sorry to hear you're leaving the company. What'd you do to get this role? He always said you were such a frigid little girl. What did you do to make him change his mind?
What's going on here?
Hey, I'm coming by later. I have something for you. It's a token of my appreciation.
Right.
You make the most of it, Nina.
All right, so that is Natalie Portman, and the creepy score is behind her that makes it even a little more dramatic.
Which was not nominated, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm a little irritated by that.
So the score...
Yeah, the Black Swan score was ruled ineligible because of it contains, you know, material from Swan Lake.
So. Oh, okay. I see. Well, so let's talk about Natalie Portman in this movie. Is she the front runner for Best Actress? Frank, what do you think?
I think so, probably, because the movie has done quite well at the box office, and she's on a real buzz right now. Newsweek had a multi-page feature on her just a week ago, so she's probably rolling along with that, and she's very popular, and she graduated from Harvard. They'll love that. The question you always get when someone says, should so-and-so deserve it, and you have to say, well, if not her, then who? And in this case, I think maybe Annette Bening has the strongest chance to compete with her. And between the two of them, I don't know which way it'll go. What you always get with younger performers, no, not always, but often, is that the Academy, various voters decide, well, she'll win one later. Natalie Portman has a long career ahead of her, and therefore she'll have another opportunity. But who knows, maybe this is Annette Bening's last chance. And they like her a whole lot,
that seems
too.
So dire, her last
No, I
chance.
Know, but, you know, it isn't a matter of whether she's going to die next week or even quit the business, but whether or not another film will come along, another role will come along in
her.
A package
yeah.
that attracts enough attention and publicity and all the other things that go into getting an Oscar nomination. You talked about campaigning, why lead roles get supporting acting, because the studios put huge amounts of money behind these campaigns because a win pays off in such a huge bonus at the other end. So that's why they want as many nominations as possible and want to back all these things. And you never know when those are going to come along again. Annette Bening may never get another opportunity. Natalie Portman probably will.
Natalie Portman is in every movie coming out next year.
Yes, all
like.
Of them. All 263 performances. It's
she's
incredible.
She's made some questionable choices following
yeah,
up this role,
a, she's
though.
She's in a very non-Oscar-worthy sex comedy out right now.
And so. Then her next one is Your Highness,
yes.
which looks – I mean, it could be funny, but it doesn't suggest that in the trailer. And why is she doing comedies?
Well, she did a little of everything. I mean, the smart people these days go back and forth between the mainstream profitable movies and the prestige art films. If you go too much in one direction, you get completely typecast. Smart people go both ways.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be co-starring with Ashton Kutcher.
Well, and she may not have had that choice.
All right, and we'll talk about Annette Bening in just a moment. But first, Chris is on the line, and I want to have Chris's thoughts.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Hi. What are your comments about the awards season?
Well, I was just, online. I'm not a big cruiser online, but I did read some things regarding the Oscars that kind of brought, raised a couple eyebrows. And that was the issue in regard to the lack of minorities that have been. I'm not even sure if any have been nominated for Oscars for this year. And I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, Javier Bardem is certainly a minority.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I thought of was Javier Bardem, nominated for Best Actor, and I think that was a bit of a surprise. The film Beautiful is also nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, but I don't think anybody really expected him to be nominated for Best Actor. Although Oscar loves him, and rightfully so. But it is a pretty white bunch this year. That's true.
No, but it's not a quota system. I mean, there's no requirements. I mean, there could the performances have to be there, and I don't know what was skipped from a minority actor that was screaming to be in there.
Hold on.
I don't.
Chris, do you have anything in mind, a performance by a minority actor that you were thinking of?
No, ma'am, I don't. To be honest with you, I don't really follow the movie that well. But just from reading online, there were a couple articles I read, and I can't recall the names where they mentioned a few blogs that mentioned names that were perhaps worthwhile. I apologize, I'm not more informed, but I was that's why I was calling you.
That's okay, it's not your job.
Okay.
We got plenty of people here who it is their job. So what do you think? Were there any performances missed, Brad?
Halle Berry got a Golden Globe nomination in a little scene film, and there wasn't a lot of buzz that it was necessarily a worthy performance. I don't know. I mean, you know, the question is Hollywood at large diverse enough?
That's
true. But this isn't an issue on years when Denzel Washington stars in Training Day. Nobody brings this up then. Denzel Washington, he was in a Runaway Train movie or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't
going
to get it.
No, that's not going to get, not purely for the sake of having diversity within the nominations. That's not what the purpose of this is.
And a lot of your more reliable, you know, Don Cheadle didn't make a big movie this year. Denzel Washington didn't make, you know, Viola Davis didn't make a big mm-hmm. movie this year. Monique didn't do a follow-up film this year.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the people that you might think of, you know, even Will Smith, who, you know, often flirts with Oscar, I don't think he made anything this year. So a lot of the people that, you know, would be your go-to people. And the thing is, a lot of other go-tos didn't make any films this year. Kate Winslet didn't. Kate Blanchett didn't. Meryl Streep didn't. I mean, it just seemed to be an off year for those names that you're used to hearing.
Did you read this in the blogs? Have you heard about the lack of minorities?
No, I hadn't heard it come up at all.
Well, thank you, Chris, for that call. And let's get back to talking about Annette Bening. She is nominated for Best Actress from the movie The Kids Are All Right, which is a movie that did well, not a blockbuster by any stretch of the imagination, but it did well. And in this scene, Laser, who plays Annette Bening's son, is talking with his moms. They're having a talk.
Are you having a relationship with someone?
You can tell us, honey. We would understand and support you.
Look, I only met him once.
What do you mean, once?
Did he find you online?
Wait.
What?
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Paul? Who's Paul?
I met him with Joni.
Why was Joni there?
She set it up.
Forget the setup. Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor. Did you guys think I was gay?
No. No way.
Well, of course not.
So that was Annette Bening in a scene from The Kids Are All Right. And Hope, what do you think of her performance in that movie?
Oh, you know, I thought it was great. And in a film full of great performances. You know, a lot of people are saying Julianne Moore was ignored, and that's probably true. But again, a very tight race for her. But I just thought she was great in what could be a pretty thankless role. And she was funny and she was realistic and she was very loving. And I loved her.
She won a Golden Globe. But the way the Golden Globes work is they separate the drama from the comedy. So she won a Golden Globe for Best Actress in a Comedy, and Natalie Portman won in the drama category. So does that kind of put them against each other?
Yeah,
no.
Golden Globe, they double the fun that way, you know, so the show can go on longer. And so they don't have to spend time giving money, giving awards out to smaller technical people. Like, do they give out cinematography? They might.
Yeah, I don't even think they do.
I don't think they give out editing. They're about stars, you know.
Yeah,
and they're about stars drinking. That's the whole reason to watch that show is because by the end they're all plowed up there saying things they ought not to say.
Right,
Brad. Brad, what do you think about the Best Actress?
Hope mentioned Julianne Moore. I don't even think the right actress from The Kids Are All Right was nominated. I was a big Julianne Moore supporter. I found Annette Bening's performance, it hit a lot of the same notes as her American Beauty performance for me. I don't know why.
Wow.
She was just kind of uptight. It played well against. She had some great moments, but I would really love to see Natalie Portman win. And even though she is young, she's kind of a veteran. You know, she's been acting since she was a child.
See, I think American Beauty. She played a cartoon. I mean, at the time I saw the movie, and I still think that it was her husband was the somewhat grounded character, but that's a movie I don't like much at all. But in this case, I thought there was a lot more color to it, and I think there's a nice balance to the two characters. But, you know, what it comes down to in most cases where people decide between one or the other is who character do I like more? Who did I like in other movies? Who comforted me more? She's kind of the Earth Mother type in this thing. She does it fine. I don't know what great means anymore in these things.
You're listening to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org with your comment on the movie award season. Was your favorite film of the past year nominated for an Oscar? We'll be right back after this break. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
The FX series Justified begins its new season next week, and season one is now out on DVD. On the next Fresh Air, an interview with Walton Goggins, who plays the leader of a white supremacist group pursued by a federal marshal. In the FX series The Shield, Goggins played Detective Shane Vendrell. Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Get caught up with local and national news every Friday night on WOSU-TV. Starting at 8 is Washington Week, followed by Columbus on the Record, continuing with the McLaughlin Group, and then Need to Know. Spend your Friday night with WOSU-TV beginning at 8.
This Week in This American Life. A storage container filled with somebody else's stuff. Can't go inside. Touch it.
Oh my God.
So back there.
It looks empty. No, there's someone living back there.
But you can look and bid on what you think it's worth.
There's somebody's hair. There's a head in there.
There's a shrunken head right there.
What it's like to actually make a living doing this. Guessing. This Week.
Saturday afternoons at 1 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked library, zoo, and science museum. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.
Welcome back to All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurovich. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org to discuss the movie award season. With me in the studio from the other paper is Hope Madden. Thanks
Hello.
For being here.
Sure.
And Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive. Thanks again.
Hello, Amy.
And Frank Abrenya from the Columbus Dispatch. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we've been talking about the award season. Let's talk about a movie that not a lot of people have seen. I don't know if a lot of people even heard of it. It's called Winter's Bone. And in this scene, Ree Dolly's crystal meth-making father has skipped bail and he's gone missing. And if she doesn't find him, their family will lose their home.
I got a real bad need to talk with Thump.
And he ain't got no need to talk to you.
But I need to. I really, really got to, ma'am, please. Some of our blood at least is the same. Ain't that supposed to mean something?
Ain't you got no men could do this?
No, ma'am, I don't.
So, Winter's Bone. I've heard of it. I've heard it talked about. I've heard it talked about because, Hope, you've been on my show. But other than that, is this a surprise?
I don't think that the nomination, Jennifer Lawrence's nomination for Best Actress, I don't think that was a surprise. I think most people kind of expected that, and maybe because there are 10 in the field, the Best Picture. Best Supporting Actor for John Hawkes, I think, was a surprise, and then it also got nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. I'm just excited all the way around. I full-on loved this movie. I loved everything about this movie. It was surprising and riveting, and it's not a horror film. It scared me to death. And the woman who, the other voice in that clip, Dickie Dale, is one of those, it's one of those performances that is so natural, no one's ever going to consider her for an award of any kind. And that's why that's a crime, because she's not that Ozark Mountain woman. She's actually an actress, and she's been in a lot of films and TV, and she deserves some notice. But I loved this movie.
Brad, what are your thoughts on Wintersbone?
I really love the performances in it. I went into it with really high expectations. I heard a lot of buzz about it, and I wanted to love it, and I only really liked it. I wanted a little more payoff at the end. The tone of it is great. The setting of it is great. The style of it is great. There just wasn't a punch at the end that I was kind of hoping for, because it had this, you know, kind of pot-boiling thriller.
Yeah, so that boat ride didn't do anything for you?
Okay. Yeah, if you've seen the film, it's a bit of a surprise. But
Frank, did you see Wintersbone?
Yes. What I like most about the film, and I didn't love it, but I did like it, is that these kind of movies that take you into a world you've never been before. This is Missouri, isn't it, in the backwoods and everything. Usually you come in through an outside character who basically represents the audience. In this case, you're among the people themselves. The young girl you follow around through the whole film lives there. She's part of this. She understands this world, and she's having a hard time negotiating it in order to find her missing father. And so it makes you work a bit to figure out who these people are in their relationships and everything like that, and you do worry for her all the way through it. It's a challenging experience all the way around. It's a very nice movie. I'm glad it's getting as much notoriety as it did, as it is doing now because of the nominations.
And we have an email from Melissa. She says she has a question. She agrees with Hope that the supporting actress category is one of the strongest, but there's also a lot of great work in the supporting actor category. What are the panel's favorites in supporting actor?
We were talking actually during the break I was really pleased to see John Hawkes from Wintersbone nominated. And although I really like Mark Ruffalo in The Kids Are All Right, I thought he was very fun, and he's a good actor. I like him in most everything. I'm not sure that deserved a nomination, and I would really have loved to see Bill Murray get nominated for Get Low, for his performance in Get Low. And very few people saw the film, and it's not a great film, although it's gorgeous to look at. It boasts two really phenomenal performances. It was him as a supporting character, and then
Robert Duvall
as a lead. Just really, and I was sorry that neither one of them got noticed.
Brad, who do you think will win for supporting actor?
Christian Bale, you know, again, we say, like, we love it when people play drug addicts, and he's great in The Fighter. I like a more understated performance. In fact, I was kind of a little disappointed that Andrew Garfield was snubbed for The Social Network. There's nothing particularly flashy about that, but I thought, you know, it was great support, and he was really important to that movie working.
What about Jeremy Renner from The Town is also nominated. Is that...
You know, it was a nice performance. I enjoyed the performance. I don't think he has a shot of winning. I'm not entirely certain. I think he ought to be in the list, although I did think it was a great performance. I don't think he has a shot of winning.
Well, then what about, I mean, The King's Speech? Jeffrey Rush is nominated for Supporting Actor, and he's very important to that movie.
Well, that's what it's going to come down to, Jeffrey Rush or Christian Bale. And the thing that fascinates me about Christian Bale is why he is as skinny as he is, considering how much scenery he chews on movies like this, because I think it's a virtually out-of-control performance. But I suppose I was supposed to be nervous while I was watching it. That's in The Fighter. I think the difference there is, again, I think all speculation on Oscar winning is based on things outside the quality of the performance. Jeffrey Rush has won before. He won a Best Actor award, so they may not need to give him another one, but they may say, hey, he's a nice guy. He's been a nice guy. We'll give him one. Christian Bale had a big blow-up a couple of years ago. Was that on the set of The Dark Knight or something?
Yeah.
Where he was screaming at somebody who was standing in his sight line, and it got all kinds of play, so everybody thinks he's a little nuts now. So do they want to award him with an Oscar? I mean, these are the kind of considerations that I think these people go through out there when they're voting, along with, well, I like The King's Speech a lot, and I like the character, so I'll vote for him.
You know what? I agree with that. I really do. And I think Christian Bale might hit an early Sean Penn wall, which is that people did not like him. People in the community didn't like Sean Penn, and he went for a ridiculous length of time without an Oscar. But when you saw the trailers for The Fighter, and it's like, you know, Oscar nominee Amy Adams, Oscar nominee Melissa Leo, Oscar nominee Matt Damon,
No, Matt Damon did not get nominated. not this time.
Why can't I think of his name?
Marky Mark.
I always do that. Mark Wahlberg. And then they just say Christian Bale, and you're like, Christian Bale's never been nominated for an Oscar? That seems obscene. It really does.
For what?
Well, Fred, for The Machinist, for The Dark Knight, for 310 to Yuma. They
and
ought to.
And The Dark Knight, there's only five nominations. So
and what was the Vietnam movie that he did where he was left in a field? He's really done. And he's a very reliable actor.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say American Psycho, although not a lot of people would agree. He was great in it.
No, that was Norton.
Well, let's talk about a couple of movies, a movie that did get a couple of nominations, which, again, not a lot of people have heard of, but it got a Best Actress nomination for Michelle Williams as Blue Valentine. In this scene, the two main characters, played by Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling, meet for the first time.
Can I talk to you for a second?
Why?
You think I stole that money, don't you?
No.
Look. I've stolen money before, okay? I know what it's like to get busted. That's what it feels like.
Okay.
I didn't steal it. I got a job. Okay?
This is
my job. All right?
I got it.
I make money.
Okay, I got it.
Money I can take girls out on dates with. Just so you know.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What's your name?
Go away.
Go away?
Go away.
That's a weird name.
So that is Blue Valentine. Tell us a little bit about what this movie's about, because I know it was little seen, but...
It's about a disintegrating marriage, kind of told non-chronologically. A friend described it as sort of a really bleak version of 500 Days of Summer, if any of you saw that. It opens this week. Actually, you know, we've seen screenings, so I've been kind of buzzing this movie up for a while for friends, and it's finally out in theaters this weekend. I think it's fantastic.
It is. The approach is unusual, and the characters are flawed to the point that they're almost difficult to like. But, you know, Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling, it is impossible to go wrong with those two. And they're so human in this, and you feel so badly for them because you can tell right off, oh, there's no way this is going to work out. You understand what brings them together, but you just are watching going, no, seriously, just don't. Don't do it.
Well, yeah, they're hard to like, but it's showing all these different periods in their relationship. You know, you're kind of seeing the end of a marriage, but then you go back and you see their courtship, and it's really heartwarming.
And did you not think of that during the courtship? You know, did you not think he seems like a peach, but
well,
this is not going to work
the thing
out for
is
you?
You see where it's going to go,
right.
And the way it's told is really phenomenal. I thought Gosling was probably, I didn't think he had a great shot. But he was the snub that disappointed me
the most.
It's
true. He was,
true. Yeah, Michelle Williams was nominated for Best Actress, but Ryan Gosling did not get a nomination. And was Blue Valentine also nominated for screenplay? No. Was it nominated for something else?
I don't think so. No, as far as I know, that's it.
Just one nomination?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's a movie that you can actually see, and a lot of people in Columbus probably haven't seen it, so you can go see it this weekend.
Right. It opens this weekend.
So what else did we want to talk about? Let's talk about Javier Bardem. We mentioned him briefly. We kind of talked about that for a second. He was nominated for Best Actor for a movie that, honestly, I had not heard of either. Can you tell me about this movie?
I don't think it's – I'm almost positive it hasn't been released in Columbus yet. And I had a chance to watch it because we got screeners through a critics association that the three of us are in. It's called Beautiful. You know, and he plays it's an unusual film. He plays a very nearly homeless guy raising two kids, and he does odd things. He, you know, under the table kind of work. It's hard to follow exactly all the things that he has going on, but he realizes he's dying, but he's not ready to die. And he also sees spirits. I mean, it's a very unusual, not Hollywood in any way kind of a film. But I don't think Javier Bardem has ever in his life turned in a bad performance. He's just spectacular in all things. He's one of my favorite actors working, and he's really quite, quite good in this.
Yeah, we were talking about the Coens. I mean, Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men is maybe, you know, my favorite villain of the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he was nominated for Best Actor, but, I mean, that's a heavy category when you have Colin Firth and even Jesse Eisenberg and Jeff Bridges in there. Brad, you like The Social Network a lot. Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Eisenberg, I know. I feel like I'm the voice of support for The Social Network, but nobody's mentioning Jesse Eisenberg. And again, he's young. He definitely will have. I don't think he stands a chance of getting a lot of votes.
I actually think his problem is the same problem Clooney had last year with Up in the Air. Clooney was brilliant and Up in the Air, and everybody said, well, he's just being Clooney.
Yes.
It's Jesse Eisenberg has played the same guy 100 times now. But I personally think that you can't hold that against him. You have to look at the individual film, and it fits perfectly in this. He does a great job. I like him in most things.
Jack
anyway.
Nicholson got a pretty good career out of playing the exact same guy.
Yeah, he did. But his guy was more interesting to watch. You know, Eisenberg has made a career out of sort of that creepy guy you really don't want to have to spend 2 hours with. and he does it really well in The Social Network. I mean, I agree with you. I think he's great in that movie.
There's a snub that I wanted to talk about just because it made me laugh. Cher has been tweeting lately that Burlesque was snubbed for the Oscars in general, but especially for Best Song. Thoughts?
I think you should not bother reading Cher's tweets. Those are my thoughts on that.
Hope, any thoughts on Burlesque?
One star.
Okay. You know, the fact that it was a punchline for Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes tells you a lot about that movie.
And Frank, what did you think of Burlesque?
I didn't see it.
That's just good thinking, Frank. I like where your head's at.
I saw some Burlesque back in Cleveland back in the 60s that I remember well. But that wasn't this movie, so.
And there's one more movie I wanted to get to before we run out of time that, Frank, you said was your favorite movie of the year. It's nominated for Best Documentary. It's called Exit Through the Gift Shop.
That's correct.
And in this clip, one of the artists featured in the documentary is talking about his art.
Most normal art is built to last like hundreds of years. It's cast in bronze or it's oil on canvas, but street art has a short lifespan, so it needed documenting. You know, we all needed someone who knew how to use a camera.
All right, so that is called Exit Through the Gift Shop, and the audio is not actually bad. That's how they have him talking, because he's secretive. No one knows who he is.
Yes, Banksy, the secretive British street artist, who has taken partial credit for this movie, but it's hard to tell who shot this movie, who put it together, whether it's all put on. It's wonderful. It's fascinating. I think of all the movies I saw this year, this went in sideways directions that I never expected more than any other film I saw the entire year. I enjoyed it immensely, and I had no high hopes for it when I went in. It's maybe a documentary, maybe it's fiction.
Exactly.
Maybe it's all a put on. I have no idea. And I don't know, is it on DVD yet?
Yes, it is out on DVD.
It is. So people can go out and rent this thing and watch it, but it's well worth seeing.
So it's nominated for Best Documentary Feature,
yes.
But there's a lot of talk that no one knows who this guy is, and will he show up to the Oscars? What do you think?
That'll be wonderful. I mean, I think not. I think he won't show up. Because that reinforces the mystique. Although, you know, you could see him going up on stage with a hood over his head. I don't know. That'll be worth seeing.
Yeah, the artist in question made headlines recently because someone posted his true identity to eBay.
Oh, no kidding.
They took bids claiming they knew who this secretive artist really was, and we're going to... I don't know. It's kind of like Carly Simon when she said she would tell somebody who You're So Vain was
about. Who's So Vain, yeah.
All right. Well, we're down to the last 20 seconds, so each person has a second to say what movie to see before the Oscar broadcast next month.
Winner's Bone.
Brad, what do you think?
I'll see The Social Network again.
The Social Network again. And Frank, what do you think you should see?
Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo. It's very entertaining.
Is that nominated for anything?
No, you can find it on the Disney Channel probably. No, I don't know. Social Network. Well, King's Speech, if we haven't mentioned it. It's a very enjoyable film. It's well worth seeing.
Yes.
But all these things are doing well, so they don't need our help.
All right. And this has been All Sides Weekend. Thanks to Hope Madden, film critic for The Other Paper. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to Brad Keefe with Columbus Alive.
Thanks again, Amy.
And thanks to Frank Abrenya from the Columbus Dispatch. Thank you very much. And also thanks to Sal Visionary running the board for us. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus. And streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.